For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Of July the 2nd, 1991, at the 4th of July family camp being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris is the speaker in this service.
2nd Chronicles, I believe it is. We'll turn over there. In 2nd Chronicles chapter 15, and let's see, I think it's going to be about verse 3. Israel had been along. Somebody want to read with me? 2nd Chronicles chapter 15, verse 3, Bill, read it.
Now for a long season Israel had been without the true God.
And without a teaching priest.
And without law.
But when they were in trouble.
Their trouble returned unto the Lord God of Israel, and saw him, he was found of him.
Yeah, and he gave them a teaching priest. Now it doesn't say that they didn't have any priests. They just didn't have any teaching priests. They had some priests that could light candles. Yeah, hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. They had priests that lighted candles and eat the bread off the table.
Yeah. Amen. Come on.
And burn a little incense.
Yes.
But they hadn't had any teaching priest. Therefore, they had no law. Law. Well, somebody said, don't talk about law to me. I don't know why everybody dreads the law so. I'm searching out and seeking to find the perfect law of liberty.
Yes. Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Everything in this universe is governed by a law.
Amen. Yes.
God didn't make anything that he didn't make a law to go. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm not for the ordinances. I don't want to light no candles. No showbread for that, because it's a new day. It's a new priesthood. But, hallelujah. Instead of lighting the candle, I want to become the candle.
Yes.
Let me rephrase that. Instead of lighting the candle, I have become a candle.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Instead of eating that showbread, I have become a loaf of bread. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This superior acceptability, superior, oh, hallelujah. Knowledge shall greatly increase. I tell you now, saith the Lord, yeah, that I shall begin to fill you with wisdom and with knowledge that you have not had before. Yea, even a wisdom and knowledge that will surpass wisdom that you have admired in others. Knowledge that you have admired in those that moved foremost among your midst. I'm going to give to you a wisdom that will surpass that. I tell you, because the hour is late, the time is at hand. Yea, I must now make my choosing. Yea, I must now make my choosing known. Yea, known unto those that are chosen. Yea, to rule and reign with their Lord and King throughout the millennial 1,000 years of reign. As we restore the earth, yea, and restore the world, the cosmos, back to the blessed Lord. Yea, and eradicate all traces of evil, all signs of wrong. Yea, until the arch enemy of your soul will be remembered no more among you, saith the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my Lord. I'm going. All right, so he comes up in the middle of the feast. He comes up and enters his temple and begins to teach. That was about some years ago when he brought forth the teaching ministry. Isn't it marvelous to change it? People used to call me all the time, want me to come preach. I preach revival. I preach evangelistically for decisions, you know, in the old line. Until the Lord brought me into the teaching ministry. And I don't know the last time anybody called me. And, well, some people that hadn't been around me in a long time still calls me and asks me if I'd come preach. Guy called me not long ago. He's down in the Beaumont area and said, I hadn't seen him in 20 years, 25 years. And he said, hey, Brother Jackson, I bet you won't remember me, but he told me who he was. Of course, I remembered him very well. And he said, I've got a church here. And said, you come across my mind. He said, can you still preach like you could 25 years ago? And I said, I hope not. He said, well, I was thinking that if you could, we'd have a jubilee here. I said, I want you to come. And I said, well, I'm afraid that I don't preach like I did 25 years ago, but if you want me to come right now, it just happens I've got a day or two. He said, well, can you come tomorrow? We start tomorrow night. And I said, all right, we start tomorrow night. And I went and preached for him, because I didn't try to preach to please him. I just preach what the Lord says, you know. I preach kingdom to him. His mother was deaf, nearly deaf. And she sat on the front seat beside the pastor. And I got to quoting scripture. I got up and quoted scripture, and I'd quoted, you know, several chapters under a real heavy anointing. And she was passing notes. They was passing notes back and forth among them. What's he doing? They was trying to wonder what I was doing. As the time, anyway, we had a good meeting with him, and I explained to the brother, oh my. Yeah, you talk about audacity. Was the next morning at breakfast. He took me downtown to breakfast, and while we was eating breakfast, and he had him a good old strong black cup of coffee, and I said, I'll just mention something to him. So I asked him, had he ever considered the possibility that there wouldn't be a rapture per se? He said, no. Where are you coming from? And I kind of explained to him what I thought, you know, was going to take place. You know, the rapture theory is, I can't embrace it. It's too, I don't embrace everything that you have to believe in the rapture. Because my concept, I used to, my concept was that everybody that was saved going to be called out. Well, you know that's an error. Everybody that's saved is not going to be caught out. My goodness, if you everybody is saved, not going to even stay. If you want to get in on this that I'm talking about, hallelujah, you will be more than just said, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I'm accepting you as my personal Savior, like you're doing him some kind of big favor, you know. You will have to be far advanced beyond that. Yes, hallelujah. Now, what I do believe will take place is a translation of the sons of God. And I believe that we'll be changed. And I think that's what the Scripture says. As far as being caught up to fish or whatever it is, we're going to vacation for 1,000 years. We're going to be caught up and given authority to rule this universe. Hallelujah. For 1,000 years to begin with. And then after that, it's Katie bar the door. Hallelujah. Amen. Because time is no more. Hallelujah. But we're still going to reign with him in the realm of eternity. Hallelujah. You see, I, brethren, would not have you to be ignorant concerning them that are fallen asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them that are fallen asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And there shall we ever be with the Lord. To me, that just don't get us off of this planet. Hallelujah. Amen. To me, when we are raised up in a cloud, it's the same word that is used, and we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. That's people. And the air that we're caught up in, too, is the air that hugs the globe here, the ground. Yeah. It's air that has oxygen in it. And if you... Well, hallelujah. So, what's happened? Them that we sleep, them that sleeps in God, in Christ, God's going to bring with Him. You know, in the charismatics, they want you to label everybody and label everything. You know, we label our... We got fellowship, so you label them. If you can label it, it won't flow. You have to put it in a bottle to label it. But in the Revelations 22, the river, that river with the fruit trees on either side, it's flowing. You can't label flowing water. You can't, hallelujah, amen. I don't really know. People often ask me what we are. I don't know. I belong or associated with fellowship, just loose fellowship without any legalism at all or any office as far as that's concerned, except what the Lord has done. God just brought a group of us together years ago, and we're a fellowship, but we call ourselves the move of God. But we only did that to keep from calling ourselves Latter Rain because they found out that name. And every good name that they can get, finally they found it out, and you change it to something else. But we're just Christians, just walking with God. Amen. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. Just little sons. Maybe big sons. I don't know. We don't know. Hallelujah. But God, all right, so they ask, well, hey, who is it that them is bringing back? When God comes, he's going to bring them. He said, well, if you can stick around till I go by the way of the grave, if I go by the way of the grave, I'll tell you who one of them is. One of them will be me. And you know what I'm coming back for? Who knows what I'm coming back with him for? If I go by the way of the grave, if I go by the way of the grave, this is the process. This body, this tabernacle will go back to the dust from which it come, it was made of, and my spirit will go back to God who gave it. And there my spirit will wait with him. And if I died in Christ, now I'm going to explain to you what in Christ is. All right? In Christ. If I went by the way of the grave now, and there's nothing, there can be only one thing that keeps me from walking over the boundaries into life without death. I have just one thing. If there's more than one thing that keeps me from walking into life, then I won't rise in the first resurrection. And the rest of the dead will rise not again for 1,000 years. In other words, I'd have a guarantee of staying in the grave for 1,000 years after the first resurrection, at least 1,000 years. Now, the only thing that could hinder me, if the only thing hindering me from walking into life is that time, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. If the time element is the only thing that's hindering me, then I made it. God just didn't see fit to keep me around here till the time came together with me. So, my spirit will go back to be with Him. My body will go back to the dust from whence it come. But when He comes, when He descends from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, He'll bring me with Him. And you know what I'm coming back for? To claim the redemption of this body. And then you know what's going to happen? Well, about the time my spirit gets so close, you took a magnet and teased a hair pin with it, hadn't you? You know, take one of them old T-model coil or wherever it come from, T-model. And that thing will pick a one of them, what you call, bobby pin, hairpin. It'll make it leap up there a foot. Hallelujah. Well, when I come back with him, my spirit comes back. When it gets so close to the earth, this body is going to come out to be reunited with it. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Don't fear. He who created me in the first place can of an assurance recreate me in the next. Hallelujah. And he brings me out, reunites the body with the spirit. I've claimed the redemption of my body. And instantly, he'll change this body like, oh, this vile body, like unto his glorious body. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. And that's sonship. That's the first resurrection. And if you go by the way of the grave, if you didn't die in perfection, except for the time element, you ain't coming out in the first resurrection. And you'll have to be perfect to walk in the life. Well, I can tell you how to live forever without dying. But I don't think I will, because it'll just bother you. But he, and you can't do it anyhow. But I can tell you theoretically how it can be done. I'm going to tell you. If I don't tell them, they won't believe I know. Bill, I'm going to tell them. Hallelujah. All right. If you'll come or wherever you are, anywhere, if you'll just pray what we old timers from the old school call pray through. If you'll just pray through until there is ever sin in your life, that ever was in your life, is forgiven. And you're completely washed in his blood. And you can stand before him in pureness with no fault. You can do that. The problem is holding that. But if you could do that, and then you never do anything else to displease him, or contrary to his word, you'll stop. The aging process will stop on you. Absolutely. It's sin that's causing this gray hair and your teeth to fall out. The Germans was nice enough to knock mine out, but my teeth, but yours, when I was just 19 years old, a German soldier took the butt of a rifle and de-teethed me. But if he hadn't, they'd probably been falling out by now anyhow, so. Yeah, and his hair grows gray, and the curl begins to come out. You ever notice that? People, as they get older, the curl comes on their hair. If I could get everything just right with him and hold it there, I wouldn't get any older. You know, and I think at a certain time, we even reverse that trend and start me backwards now. Yeah, in the kingdom, when we get through the other end of the kingdom, you know how old we're going to be? We're going to look like we're 30. That's how old Jesus was when he came. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there's one disciple that there's no record of his death. Brother John. I don't say that he's still living. If he was, we couldn't find him because we'd be looking for an old man. And he'd only look like he was 30 years old. If he were still alive. Let's say we got no record of him. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, now Jesus, all right, let's turn on. Well, are we still in the 7th chapter? Well, let's go to the 38th verse. Jesus, no, 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then the evangelist tells us here in parenthesis, this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. What happens here is that Jesus comes. It was on this day that the high priest comes out of the temple with other assisting priests, and they march through the city. And from the pool of Bethesda, they bring huge pitchers of water. You know, the pool of Bethesda is where the angel troubled the water. And if you could get down in there as soon as it was troubled, or before anybody else did, you could get healed. It seems that there was just one healing to the troubling of the water. Don't know how regular it was troubled, but you stood and waited until the water was troubled. It was stirred. Then if you could be the first one down there, you could get healed. They bring in this ceremony, which is only a ceremony, pointing toward that they can't see. And they come back with the water from the pool and pour it out at a certain location in the temple. And this was a ceremony that they did every year. So on this particular Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus comes out ahead of them. Just before the high priest returns with his procession and with his pitchers of water to pour out, Jesus goes and stands where they're going to pour the water. And he said, if any man thirst, if anybody believes on me, like the scripture has said, anybody thirst, let him come to me. And drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, hallelujah. Do you believe on him? If you believe on him, scripture hath said. He said, all right, he said, now I am the personification of that water that's been poured out here all these years. Hallelujah. I'm the one that troubled the pool. I'm the water in the pool. And I'm the one that troubled that water. And now you are looking not at the water that's coming out of that pool through them earthen vessels, but you're looking at the personification of him who it was speaking of him who it was pointing toward. If you're thirsty, you can come and drink. You don't have to wait for the periods of troubling of water. Just come. Come and get a drink. Who did this invitation go out to? If any man, that finally pulled the slack out of the rope, didn't he? And just turned it foot loose. If any man's thirsty, let him come and drink. All right. He was the personification of all of it. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life. These are they that speak of me, but you won't come to me, to my person, to my life. And you will never be nothing but just religious until you, hallelujah, amen. It's not bad to be religious, but that's as far as you can get until you can touch his life and let him touch yours. Now, I must go. I'm having to close here, so I got to hurry. I'm going to the 12th chapter of John again, St. John here, and we're going to see here in verse 20 where we were a while ago. He says, well, let's see here. In verse 20, he says, the hour is come. No, that's down to verse 23. Well, we've already read it, so verse 23. The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Now he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground to die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. All right, Jesus said this. He was speaking of the death that he would give his life. He was that seed. He is that seed. And he says, they said, the Greeks want to see you. And he said, well, this doesn't sound like much of an answer, but it's a great answer. He said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it falls into the ground and dies, it'll bring forth lots. It'll be multiplied greatly. Now, that seed was planted in the ground, and it died, and then it sprung forth, and it brings forth many sons. Anybody can count the seed in an apple. Take an apple and quarter it, you know, and it'll have eight seed in it. Or it may have more than that. It won't have many more than that. It may just have four or six. But an apple doesn't have many seed. Anybody can count the seed in an apple. But nobody can count the apples in a seed. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. You got to get this. If you missed all the rest of it, get this. Anybody could count the seed that was labeled the only begotten Son of God, but nobody could count the sons of God that... Oh, hallelujah. You can count the seed in an apple, But there's nobody can count how many apples is in that seed. So the seed was easy to count. Jesus, here he stood, and he said, if I don't fall into the ground, it'll always be like this. But if I put the seed in the ground, there's a lot of sun shut up in the seed that you're looking at. I said, you're looking at me and you just see a man here. But I tell you, there are multiplied millions of suns standing here. They're all in the seed. Hallelujah. But the seed has to give up its life to produce those suns. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You pick up an acorn from under an oak tree and look at it. Very small. The oak tree is very big. But in that seed is many. Oh, in that seed is millions of trees. Like this one that you picked it up out from under. Because you plant it, it'll bring forth the tree that'll bear a lot of them seeds. Plant them. You see where it goes? Jesus said, except I fall into the ground and die, there won't be any multiplication. God, I know that the Jews, the Greeks want to see me. I know there is a great need for this ministry. But in confined to this body, in the realm of time, limited by the sources of time and the cosmos of time, limited by all of this, he said, very few people would ever get to touch me. Very few people would ever have me lay my hands on them. But if I fall into the ground and die, there will be suns all over this universe, Brother Doc. Hallelujah. Amen. That can make contact with you. So he was willing to die that we might live. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, brethren, that though he were rich, yet he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. He fell into the ground and died, and now he has sprung forth. The time is come for the unveiling. The time is coming. I believe it is right at hand for the unveiling of the many sons of God that it has pleased the Father to bring to glory with unlimited knowledge, with unlimited power. Hallelujah. Our limitations will be removed and we will receive immunity from everything the enemy has. And nothing shall by any means hurt us. Hallelujah. Now, if you think this is too lofty, then it's probably not for you. I don't think that it's too lofty. I'm a candidate. Hallelujah. I'm pressing toward it. I expect to be changed. I expect that it won't be long. Hallelujah. But if you can hear this word, see, but until it pleases God to anoint the ears, you can't hear. I tell you this story in closing. And I was in England in 1943, and waiting, training for the invasion, just waiting and training. And we were secluded out on the, backed up against the ocean. And there were great cliffs. I don't know how high they were. Rock, solid rock. It'd come in, it'd hit them, would come way up on them rocks. It'd come in, sway up hard. And it was treacherous waters. But when the tide could go out, it had a beautiful beach. And it left all kinds of dead stuff, and it bashed it to death, hitting them rocks. And the swallows would come and stay all the summer, and they'd nest in them cliffs and eat. They like berries and greenery, you know, and vegetation. Swallows do. But they'd fly out over the fields and feed, and they came every year. And they'd stay till all about time for the first frost, and they'd leave and go to Africa, you know, several hundred miles away. And and we were out one morning about 9 o'clock, long, just beginning of autumn, fixing weather, wind already turned cool. And we were doing some calisthenics, and all at once I noticed that it was a bright sun that morning, but I noticed that it was dark. Something was between us and the sun. And I looked, and there was millions, multiplied millions of swallows that had instantly, simultaneously, just rose up into the air, went almost straight up until they got their altitude, and then they cut a course toward sunny Africa and pointed their nose in that direction. And they left, and it was dark for a few minutes as they cleared them cliffs and left. And I said to myself, that's those swallows leaving. I'd never seen them do it before. I hadn't been there before when they did it. And nobody else that was with us there had ever seen it before. But then when we got some time off, I went down to the cliff, looked down on the beach there. The tide had gone out, and there wasn't a swallow to be found. Not a swallow. But there was old jaybirds down there eating at dead carcasses that the ocean, the sea had brought in. And I wasn't as religious then as I am now, but it still kindly preached to me. And there was mockingbirds down there, crows, and all kinds of birds down there. And they was just eating that old dead carcasses. And so I reasoned that them swallows heard a voice that them other birds didn't hear. And they felt an urge that them other birds didn't feel. And while them other birds are satisfied to stay there and eat them dead carcasses, that the sea, that the beast comes up out of the sea washes them in, feeds them on them dead carcasses, them swallows is going to sunny Africa and eat fresh plants. They heard a voice that others didn't hear. That's what happened to me. I heard a voice that I sat right on the front pew in the Sunday school class in our community must have been 20 of us boys within 2 years fluctuation and about that many girls. And so I sat there with, if there was 20 each, that'd be 40. I sat there with 40 and heard a voice. And there was one or two others in that class that heard the voice. And the rest of them never heard nothing. I felt an urge. A couple more felt the urge. The rest of them felt nothing. And the voice that we heard and the urges that we felt has directed our lives. About three of us came out to be ministers, but two of them's already gone to meet their reward. I'm like Elijah, the only one left. And they're after me. Yeah. But see, as you sit on the pew and hear the word of God, the bread of life broken, if you hear it, it'll bring life. If you've heard things that you've not heard before, I'm sure you've heard some things you hadn't heard before. And if you have, and it kind of tickled you inside, you felt something deep down in. That's deep, calling to deep. That's a depth from the throne of grace, calling to the depth of your spirit. And it means that you could be programmed, if you like that word, you are a candidate for this beautiful, lofty calling. It means that if you will pursue, you will feel more. And you will feel more, and you will know more, and more, until you will stand and proclaim that I am a son of God. Hallelujah. God help us. Hallelujah. God bless you real good. There's a million things I'd like to tell you, and I can think of all of them right now. But but I spare you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me prophesy a little bit here. Hallelujah. I'm a word of the Lord. Would you all join right hands, please? What's your name? Diana, Diane, and Ronnie. Give me a hand. Praise the Lord, Ronnie and Diane. Hallelujah. As I was about to close there, I seen the angel of the Lord overshadow you. By that I mean that the angel of the Lord hovers over you and begins to minister to you. You know, saith the Lord, that angels are ministering spirits to those who are heirs to salvation. It is a good thing that you have come to this meeting, to this place. Yea, you did not direct your own steps, although you were instrumental in it. But I tell you now that a higher power, yea, and a greater being directed you. Yea, and it was for a purpose and for a reason that you partially understand already. But you shall know more as the day grows longer, saith the Lord, thou God. For even now I am enlarging you. Yea, enlargement is coming. I'm going to enlarge your capacity for hearing and receiving my word. I'm going to enlarge your capacity for remembering, yea, the word of the Lord to you. Yea, and I tell you now that the Lord has intended good ministry toward you. He has intended good ministry to come through you, saith the Lord, thou God. Yea, and I tell you now that in the near future you shall see and you shall know that the Lord is directing you, yea, and an opening, making an opening, yea, setting before you an open door, and the Lord will be the director, yea, and thou shalt be given the privilege to be a blessing to many people. Yea, I shall surely give you favor, saith the Lord, thou God. Yea, and thou shalt teach. Yea, and you shall teach a people that will love you. You will love them. Yea, and thou shalt continue in this, and I, the Lord, thou God, shall direct thee from there, saith the Lord. Yea, another word shall come. Another prophet will come. Yea, and shall bring forth a word to thee. Yea, that will be a further word. And further instructions will be given. Yea, and you will never be alone, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, great God. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Rod, I have seen the angel of the Lord over you. Praise the Lord. The angel of the Lord is over you. And I see the angel of the Lord as he comes and embraces you. He comes up from behind you and embraces you in this manner. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the thought is, and the message is, that the angels that are assigned to minister to you are never going to be negligent. Yea, and though thou hast been tried, yea, and thou hast cried many tears, thou hast felt every way. You felt so many ways that you couldn't tell me how you have felt. Though I tell you now, saith the Lord, thou God, that I'm giving you a visitation even now. Yea, open up your heart and your spirit and believe that the hand of the Lord is on you now. Yea, and I'm moving in your behalf. I'm aiming good intentions toward you. Yea, I tell you that the trials you have gone through and the trials, the testings that you are in even now, saith the Lord, thou God, is testing your faith. Yea, testing your stability. My son, if thou dost stand, thou shalt be like that proverbial house that was built upon the rock. Yea, that stood through all the storms, through all the hail, wind, yea, and all the shattering. And when it stood in great splendor. For the sun came out of it and was ricocheted off the sides of this house. And it became a great light. In the land of the living, saith the Lord. Yea, know, my son, that your ministry is being enlarged. Yeah, your knowledge is being enlarged. Your ability to build ministry is coming. Now, I'm going to make you an able teacher in the land of the living, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, I'm going to make you an able deliverer, saith the Lord. Yea, and thou shalt prophesy my word up and down the land. Yea, and great shall be the reward of your gathering, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and thou shalt stand before me as a son of God, one whom the Lord has approved. I cannot approve of thee. I cannot approve thee until the testing has come, saith the Lord. Yea, and I tell you now, for your edification, that to this point, you are passing the test, saith the Lord. Oh, and as it were, the exam's almost over.
Hallelujah.
And victory is coming.
Hallelujah.
The glory is coming. And the joy is coming.
Thank you, Lord.
The rejoicing is great, and it's coming. Yea, let there be no doubt in your mind, but that the Lord of glory has called you out, anointed you, appointed you. Yea, and will not take his hand from you, saith the Lord thou God. Ye shall never have to walk alone. For the Lord thou God shall go before thee. He shall be with thee. Yea, and he shall instruct thee. You will hear that voice from behind saying, this is the way, Rod. Walk in it. Yeah, for the Lord of glory shall often overshadow thee with the Shekinah realm of his glory. You shall prophesy true riches that you don't even know about at this moment, saith the Lord thou God. The prophecy will be to you as enlightening as it is to those that are being enlightened that hear your voice, saith the Lord. For you shall speak things that at this moment are great mysteries. But I tell you now that the day of the eye-opening has come. Yea, and I am anointing eyes with eyesight. Yea, that they may see the glory of the Lord. I tell you it will not continue as it is this moment, saith the Lord. But all things are changing. And all things are changing. And know that your redemption is nearer now than when you first began. Hallelujah. Yes, the glory of the latter end shall be greater than that of the former. For the Lord thou God shall give you a heavy, yea, a forcible anointing. And ye shall go forth with authority, saith the Lord thou God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, let's give the Lord a great big hand clap. Hallelujah. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, O Lord. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, now I seal the word to the spirits of this people. My Lord, I seal every word that will be profitable to them. If I've spoke anything that's unprofitable to the kingdom, I pray that you just let us all forget it before we leave the tabernacle. But for all that will bless this people in our pursuit of the kingdom, I seal it to their spirit forever. And may they draw water from these wells in the future and have their thirst quenched. May the Holy Ghost bring all of these things to their remembrance. And in their spirit, they'll build upon the foundation that they have received. Yeah, and the Lord of glory shall take the number one position in our spirits, O Lord. I seal it to us now in Jesus' name, my Lord and our God. Go in peace, and the Lord be with you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.